Jesus, in our gospel reading for today, is in his final conflict with the Jews. They have been questioning his authority, asking him why he can say and do the things that he does. And Jesus answers this challenge partly by telling them three parables. Our reading for today is the second of those parables. And it especially shows the danger that was looming over them for rejecting him as the Son of God. Because there was a master, Jesus says, who planted a vineyard. He did everything that needed to be done. And like so many landowners in those days, after he had set it all up, he hired workers to take care of it, and he went to live in another place. There was no need to worry because the tenants would take care of everything. But when the time for the harvest came near, he understandably was expecting something for all of his investment. And so he sent servants to the tenants in order to get the fruit. Now, nothing about what Jesus has said so far is all that surprising. That's just the way things were back then. But what is surprising is that when the servants came, the tenants refused. They beat one, they killed another, and they stoned another. Instead of giving the fruit as they had been hired to do, they intended to keep it for themselves. And we can see how shocking this is because we can imagine hiring somebody to do something for us and to have them not only refuse to do it, but also to attack those you sent to them. No one would be surprised if the master just dealt with them right then and there as they deserved. But in an equally shocking move, Christians, the master does not do this. He does not deal with them as they deserve. He chooses instead to send more servants, even more than the first time. He gives these wicked tenants another opportunity to give him his fruits. He shows them mercy and patience that, frankly, they didn't deserve. But the result is the same. They treat this batch of servants the same way as they treated the first, still refusing to do what they were supposed to do. So now we might say, well, there seems like there's a clear pattern now. I mean, after all, if somebody's done something twice, it's very likely that they're going to do it again. We, out of pity, might give somebody a second chance. We can understand that. But to give them a third doesn't make any sense at all. But the master does the most surprising thing. To these murderous, rebellious, wicked tenants, he sends his own son. He gives them another opportunity that they don't deserve. He still calls them to give what belongs to him. This unimaginable mercy could melt even the most stubborn heart, because whoever heard of such patience in a case like this? But no, they do the very same thing to the son. They even think that they will become the heirs instead of him. Even though they have been shown an unimaginable mercy, they still refuse to the bitter end. So the Jews are quite right when they say that the master's patience has finally run out. He will cast them out of the vineyard and put them to death, giving the vineyard to others. Others who will do what he wants. Others who will give his fruits in their due season. But Christians, Jesus is not just telling stories. Jesus makes his point perfectly clear when he says in verse 43, "Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits." Now, the Pharisees, to their credit, fully understand what he's getting at. They know that he's speaking about them. Because Jesus' point, Christians, is this. The master of the vineyard is the Father. The vineyard is his kingdom. The tenants are the Jews. The servants are the prophets. And the Son is Christ himself. And the Father in mercy called into existence a people for himself. He called ancient Israel to be his own out of all of the nations of the world. Not because they somehow deserved it, not because they were the most numerous, because they were so good, but because he loved them. And because of the promises that he had made to their fathers, the promises to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And having made them a part of his kingdom, he expected his kingdom fruits. Fruits like the fruits of the Spirit, peace, patience, joy, and so forth. Fruits like love toward God and love toward one another. To turn from sin, to do what is right, to be like him in all things. These are the kinds of fruits that God rightly expects from those who are part of his kingdom. But Israel didn't do this. They rejected the Lord time and time again. They followed after false gods. They treated one another with contempt. They bore no fruit at all. And nobody would blame God if he had cast them off right then and there. He would be perfectly right to do so. It would be no more than they deserved because of their sins. But the Father in mercy sent the prophets instead. He sent his servants, the prophets, to call Israel back, to call them to bear fruit to God, to call them to repent from their wicked ways and live. He wanted them to be his people again. He wanted them to bear fruits. But Israel killed the prophets, sometimes horribly. They refused to listen to God, even though God had sent so many. And finally, the Father, in the greatest act of mercy of all, sent his only Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, to call his wayward people back. He sent Jesus to gather the lost sheep of the house of Israel and to make them into a fruit-bearing people. He had been so unimaginably gracious with them in doing just this. But Israel still refused. The Pharisees were rejecting what Jesus said, even as they heard this parable. And they would all cast Jesus out of the city and put him to death by the Romans on the cross, proving that they were just like the wicked tenants in this story. They are those who would not listen. So should we be surprised then, Christians, that judgment finally fell upon them? Should we be surprised that the kingdom was finally taken away from them? Should we be surprised that God sent the Roman armies against Jerusalem 40 years later, so that in 70 AD they captured Jerusalem and destroyed the temple? Should we be surprised that God brought in a different people, the Gentiles, to dwell in the tents of Israel and to be his chosen people instead of them? God will not be mocked. To refuse him again and again is a dangerous thing, because one day the mercy will be gone, and then God will give us no more than we deserve. But even though we have been brought in Christians, though we now live in the vineyard of God, let us not boast. Let us not say that Israel was cut off, but we can't be. Because as Paul says so well in Romans 11, they were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Christians, to walk in sin, to refuse to listen to God, to reject his clear teachings, to treat his church as something optional, to take his mercy as something for granted, all of these things are not things that God takes lightly. And it is his mercy alone that gives us the time to change. Time to change our ways and our minds. But if we don't use that time, it will run out. If we keep walking contrary to him, then time will be gone. And there are no second chances in hell. But there is still time. It is still today. And while it is still today, God still calls to us. Because God does not want to destroy us. The Father desires that every sinner repent and live. And he has sent his Son in order to save us, to make us into his fruit-bearing people, a people who do not walk contrary to him, a people who are like him in all things. So let us turn to him now, Christians, because there may not be a tomorrow. But let us lay hold of his mercy now that he has shown to us out of his undeserved love, so that we may call on the name of Jesus Christ and be saved. Let us pray. Great Father of glory, forgive us for the sake of Jesus and turn our hearts so that we may bear fruit that is well-pleasing to you both now and in eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.